Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I dream of how we used to be in the day, the less convenient day, and how far from how that is today. Oh, golly gee, Miss Susie B, won't you come back home?
Hello and welcome to the rankings episode of the IDP show. Keen observers will notice I didn't say the IDP after show, and that's because the this episode has been moved up into the main feed starting this week. As Josh said in the email update sent out this week, the aim of the reshuffle is really to focus on shorter, more targeted episodes each week without any reduction in the volume of content that we bring your way. There's no change in the format to the rankings episode. I'll still be highlighting some of my favorite and least favorite players in my rankings at each position. And as usual, I'll still be joined by the best guests in the business. On that point, I'm very excited to welcome back Mike Wallett, IDP ranker, content lead, and green dot king over at 4for4 back onto the show. Mike, we're making a pretty cool habit of this, aren't we?
Yeah, good to be back, Jace. And I just can't believe we're in double digit weeks now. I mean, we're over halfway through the season and we're at week 10. It's like you blink and halfway the season is gone.
For sure. It's strange. But look, I appreciate you coming on, man. Your three down linebackers article has been a must read of mine for years. We were talking about it off air there. You know, speaking of which, let's dive straight into our rankings, starting with that linebacker position and the guys we're looking that we're excited about this week, essentially. So, you know, as an authority on linebackers, who are you championing at the position for week 10?
So for week 10, I've got Logan Wilson. So I got him as my LB5 this week. His production's kind of come on over the last couple of weeks. He's got 8 or more tackles in 4 straight games. He contributes defended passes. He's got 5 on the year. He's got interceptions, got 3 on the year. He's around the line of scrimmage. Over the last 4 games, he's got a 15.7% tackle rate. So that number is getting higher and higher. He's getting more tackle opportunities. And the Texans are a top 10 team in points allowed to the linebacker position, 2nd in average points allowed, and they're allowing almost 20 tackles a game to the linebacker position. So for me, Logan Wilson is in a really good spot. So if you guys, Logan Wilson owners, I know you start him every week, but have no fear of starting him this week. But yeah, like I said, I have Logan Wilson this week as my LB5.
Yeah, that's a good call there with him, Mike. I know he's not playing quite as well. He's not performing quite as well as he normally does, but he's producing well enough. He's got that full-time role locked down. I feel like he's doing what he always does, you know, solid enough tackle volume, enough big plays kind of sprinkled in there to give us those spike weeks that we care about in fantasy as well. And like you say, he's got a good matchup with the Texans this week. I've got him ranked as my LB16 this week. So clearly we're in lockstep on that one. Ordinarily we talk about mine, but I know you had another guy that you wanted to bring up in this spot that you really like this week and you wanted to feature.
So I've got I kind of moved him down to kind of the quick hits, but also I do like Jack Sanborn. it's looking like no Tremaine Edmonds again this week. Over the last two games, he's got a 19.1% tackle rate and a 16% solo rate. So he's getting to the ball, it seems, quicker than TJ Edwards. And the Panthers are allowing 18 tackles a game to the linebacker position. So I'd like Sanborn. He, like I said, just seems to be getting to the ball quicker. He's got that good solo rate. And big fan of Sanborn. I think I have him as my LB16 this week.
Good stuff again, right there with you. You know, he had himself a bit of a day last week with a pretty productive outing. He just seems to me like one of those guys who always produces or seems to produce whenever he's kind of called upon. Yep. He's got a 15.6% tackle efficiency so far this year, and you know, we know that particular stat is influenced more by the role in the scheme. Rather than by the quality of the player. It's still a valid point and one a stat worth mentioning when we're discussing a guy who we've seen perform in that role in the past. So yeah, I mean, I like his matchup against the Commanders this week. Could be slightly better, maybe, but it's not horrible. And like you say, you know, Tremaine Edmonds missed practice earlier in the week, so Sanborn could be in line for another heavy workload, right?
Yep, it's not the Patriots offense, so the Patriots are a rough offense for linebackers, I think, this year.
For sure. So the linebacker I'm going to go with here and who I'm going to feature is Marquez Bell. He's my LB31, rising 12 spots from last week, one behind Caden Ellis and one ahead of Alex Anzalone. He's really taken advantage, I feel, of the absence of Leighton Vander Esch over the last month or so. He's been pretty productive with a stat line of 7-6 and 10 tackles in his last three. And that production looks even better when you consider he wasn't even close to having an every down role until just last week against the Eagles. It's not always a requirement that linebackers have to play well to have good fantasy production, but it does provide us some reassurance in this case that Bell will remain heavily involved going forward, because he's played really, really well in two of his last three games in both coverage and in run defense as well. The Cowboys and Dan Quinn, they're clearly aware of what they've got in him as they've given Bell a bigger role in every week that he's played since LVE went down. And, you know, it's interesting. I was reading some draft profiles about Bell just the other day. I noticed that Chad Reuter, the NFL reporter, said that Bell has to demonstrate better technique and body control to be an effective tackler. But that's actually an area in which Bell has excelled, missing only one tackle in 44 attempts this year, which I think is just pretty damn amazing. One thing I did write about Bell recently was that he was a converted safety. He entered the league as an undrafted free safety. But the fact that he still has safety eligibility in sleeper can provide a bit of a cheat code, I think, for fantasy managers. His matchup this week is a good one against the Giants. They've allowed some big weeks to opposition linebackers this year. That wasn't the case against the Raiders last week, but that game was an exception to that rule. You know, this is a weekly show, but I also like Bell's medium to long-term outlook, and I wanted to mention that. LVE doesn't have a concrete timeline in his recovery, and I think the fact that he's had so many unfortunate neck injuries in the past does make you wonder whether he's going to be the long-term answer there. So, yeah, where's your head at on Bell, Mike?
So it's funny with Bell. I actually wrote him up in my waiver wire article from week two. I saw his performance in week one, and he had eight. He only played 40-45% of the snaps, had eight tackles. And I'm like, all right, this is someone you're gonna want to get ahead on if you can. I'd write him up as a linebacker, but we go by my fantasy league, and I think he still has safety designation on my fantasy league. So I've got him as my DB17. So pretty close. I've liked Bell since almost the beginning of the season, playing that box role, that linebacker role now. And although PFF grades aren't like be all end all, but I think PFF grades give you kind of an indication of kind of some of the, you know, sometimes of those fringe players. Sometimes an every down player can have a poor grade, but there's nobody to replace him. So you just kind of have to roll with it. With Bell, I think his PFF grade is 82.5. So he's got a good solid grade. His coverage grade is 84.1. So I think that's a good indication that I don't think you necessarily need to worry about him hopefully losing playing time anytime soon. So I do like Bell. He was someone that caught my eye early on in the season. So I was happy to see him at that 90. He had got a 94% of the snaps last week. He had a steady increase from, I think, 53 to 73 into 94 last week. So definitely has that nice increase in snaps. So solid tackle rate. So I'm certainly on board with Marquise Bell.
Yeah, yeah. And that snap share was even slightly ahead of Damone Clark, only by a couple of snaps. But it's interesting that there's little to choose between the two guys now, because I would have given that role to Clark, or seen that role go to Clark almost exclusively going back, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. So yeah. So let's hear your quick hitters at the linebacker position. Quickly run us through the other guys that you like for week 10.
So I have no inside information. There's no rationality towards this at all. Just take this for a grain of salt. This is more so just a hunch. But for whatever reason, I think Jack Campbell comes out this week with a full-time role. Something about the bye week, something about maybe watching more film. I don't know. The defense seems to be better when it's Campbell and Anzalone, but I think Jack Campbell comes out with a full-time role this week. And he begins kind of a solid second half of the season. So like I said, this is just going off of a hunch. I don't have any inside information. I'm not privy to anything. It's just a hunch and just an absolute guess. And in terms of another linebacker I like, I guess you can say some of the, you know, any two of the Pittsburgh guys, Quan Alexander or Landon Roberts. I mean, both are in good spots now that Cole Holcomb is out. I think Roberts has a little bit more, even though his role is more of a kind of a run stopper, plays about half to 60%. He's really efficient when it comes to producing fantasy points and tackle efficiency with his time. So I think either of the Pittsburgh linebackers.
Yep. Yep. Everyone should completely hold Mike to that Jack Campbell call. He's not getting away with it. We should all start him in 100% of leagues. And DM Mike if it doesn't work out. No, I like that call. I think it's something I'd love to see. It's something everyone would love to see, I think. But let's wait and see what happens. I like that call. Let's see how it plays out. So my guys here, the quick hitters, Tyrell Dodson. He's got a nice matchup against the Broncos and could be their LB1 if Terrell Bernard doesn't make it back from the concussion protocol. The only drawback there, of course, is that the Bills don't play until Monday night. So you could find yourself shorthanded if you play the waiting game. Levante David is the next one up. He's having himself a year, isn't he? Double-digit tackles in 5 out of the last 8 games, including each of his last 4. Mm-hmm. He's also chipped in with a couple of sacks, you know, a forced fumble. And he's got the Titans this week, who've been a favorite matchup that I like to target with my linebackers this year, where possible. And then finally, Jack Sanborn, who we've already discussed for all the reasons that you mentioned, that we talked about already, you know, super efficient, could have another big role this week. So, yeah, keep an eye on how that injury plays out with Tremaine Edmonds this week. So linebackers we don't like. Mike, let's flip this on its head and talk about those guys for a minute. Who do you want to nominate here? Who's the featured linebacker that you don't like for week 10?
Well, I think it's about time we probably have a sit down with Pete Werner. He hasn't been productive. I've got him as my LB 40. depending on the size of your league and where, you know, where things at, if you're in a deeper league, I still don't think I would cut him, but I would definitely sit him for the foreseeable future. If you're in a shallow league, yes, where you're, you know, maybe starting one to two linebackers, and then you've got a couple on your bench, I have no problem with cutting him at this point. So he started off hot. First four games, 34 tackles. It was like, all right, we're on a roll. 19 tackles in his last five games, and which is just isn't good. So very low tackle efficiency these last few weeks for a full-time guy. I'm probably placing Pete Werner on my bench. It's funny. I did a thread on him a few weeks ago and it's like, all right, I don't think there's anything to worry about. I think, like I said, if you're in a deeper league where linebackers are at a premium, I would definitely sit him for the foreseeable future. Shallow leagues, I do think you can certainly consider cut bait on him.
Yeah, he's been frustratingly poor, hasn't he? And I say frustrating because he's got a lot of things going for him. The most important thing being that, you know, that sizable role he's got in that Saints.
He's fast.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're not too far apart on this one. I've got him as my RB35 this week. I wonder whether it's a scheme that's just not set up for massive production at that linebacker spot. Is it because they play so little zone coverage, maybe? Is it because they blitz their linebackers a little more than most teams? You know, maybe it's a combination of the two. But whatever excuse we try to use for his lack of production, it's just not been a good year, especially so in those recent games, as you say. I can totally understand fading him, even in what should be a pretty good matchup against the Vikings this week. I'm on board. So my featured fade at the linebacker spot is Shaquille Leonard. He's my RB50, one behind Jack Campbell. And to be honest, he might fall out of my rankings altogether during the Thursday update that I do, depending on the availability of some of these other guys who are currently listed as questionable. It feels like we've been on a bit of a roller coaster with Leonard this year. He's been playing second fiddle to Zaire Franklin all year. And EJ Speed has been eating into his opportunities as well. He's been generally underwhelming, but he has seen more tackle opportunities come his way just in the last two games, maybe with Zaire Franklin out for the last game, certainly. But yeah, what was really concerning, I think, last week was seeing Segun Alubi, a 2022 undrafted free agent who had previously played something like nine snaps in the league, just came from nowhere to play an every down role against the Panthers, and Leonard kind of split time with Speed and came off the field on some of those obvious passing downs. You know, as I say, Leonard was productive, was very efficient, but he won't sustain that kind of output when he's playing such a small role. Franklin's still listed as questionable this week, so there is a chance Leonard could be more involved than he might be otherwise. But even so, I think it's a really dangerous game to expect him to replicate what he's done in the last 2 weeks. The Colts seem to have lost faith in him, and I have as well. Any thoughts on Leonard, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Franklin out, I think a lot of us were probably under the assumption that it would be Speed that was probably going to come in with that full-time role, maybe wear the dot, maybe Leonard, but I did not have Segun Alubi as the dot wearer in week 9 on my bingo card. so plus I think Leonard has only played like something of 19% of the third down snaps. So he's been coming off on most third downs anyway, which is kind of alarming. But yeah, he had a 25.6% tackle rate last week. 55% of the snaps and that came to 39 snaps. So that is definitely unsustainable. I think I have Leonard in my 50s also. But watch, he comes out this week and has 80% of the snaps. So I don't really know what to make with that Colts situation. It was very mind boggling because I thought I saw Speed wear it. I think it was maybe the shadow, but when I went to review the game, I'm like, no, this Alubi.
Who?
What? What are we doing here? So that's just the kind of season it's been.
Yeah, yeah. As I say, generally underwhelming for Leonard. And I mention him really, and the only reason he's ranked anywhere close to my top 50 is because he's been pretty productive the last few weeks, and I was concerned somebody out there might be tempted to keep him in their lineups, you know? So
I think he's still viable. I mean, you got, what, four teams on bye this week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Kansas City, I think the Kansas City, the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Eagles. So, I mean, that's, what, 6 to 8 linebackers that you've lost? I mean, you don't have Drew Tranquil at your disposal, Ernest Jones, Jerome Baker, David Long, Zach Cunningham. So you've got some linebackers that are missing. So I think with like injuries and bye weeks, you know, I hate to say it, sometimes if you're in a deeper league, these 50, 60, 70% guys, you're going to have to plug them in and hope for something.
Yeah, very true. Very true. I mean, even then, I'd prefer to start someone like an Anthony Walker type guy who's going to see 60% or so. It's not going to be a huge week, but it's a big gamble with Leonard. At least you know it's going to be slightly underwhelming with Walker, whereas it could be terribly underwhelming with Leonard.
I'd take Shaq Leonard over Anthony Walker.
Yeah, maybe a bad example.
The Browns situation, you know, you coming into linebackers to fade. I'm completely, I've mentioned this, I think, all season in my three down piece. Don't play any Cleveland linebacker at this point. You can't play any Cleveland linebacker. Anthony Walker and Sione Takitaki are rotating at the play caller spot. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is barely getting 40 to 50% of the snaps. So the Cleveland linebacker position is one you just don't, I'm just don't even bother with. There's no full-time off-ball linebacker in that defense. And there really doesn't need to be one just because Schwartz just has everybody rushing the quarterback. And they have a much better defensive line. It's rare that players are getting to that second level, to that linebacker area, and there's just not many tackle opportunities.
Yeah, you can't blame him if the defense is playing as well as it is. Why?
I mean, as a Browns fan, the defense has been fantastic to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe a bad example with Walker there. Maybe that's a poor choice on my part. So give me your short list of sort of quick hitters at linebacker that you don't like this week.
I'd probably say, I mentioned Cleveland. I think even Houston is tough. I mean, you've got Cashman. I think he's on the injury report, but then you've got a rotation now at kind of the LB2. Perriman has some time with the dot, and then Toto, whatever his name is, has some time, and then, you know, Christian Harris, and you've just got a pretty messy rotation now there in Houston.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a fun unit to be invested in as far as fantasy is concerned. Big guessing game as to what's going to happen from week to week. You know, like you say, Cashman seems to be the guy there to own when healthy. Assuming he's healthy this week, but even his snap share, I noticed, dipped a little bit this past week.
Yeah, I think he went down to the 80s.
Yeah, so it's a sticky situation, really. For me, my quick hitters, linebackers I don't like this week. Talked about them already. Alex Anzalone. He's got a firm hold on that role, so maybe a bit of a brave one here, unless what you talked about does happen and he comes out of this playing second to Jack Campbell. But he's had he's had five tackles or fewer in five of his eight games, which is pretty damn poor. And the Chargers, they're just not a friendly matchup for opposition linebackers, which we know thanks to Mr. John Macri and his wonderful charts. Amari Burney, you know, very briefly looked like he might be the favored or maybe the only option to help replace Divine Diablo and Luke Masterson, I should mention as well, after filling in as the Raiders LB2 behind Spillane in week 8. But then the Raiders went out and signed Jaylon Smith, who split reps with Bernie last week. And then I saw that Diablo was questionable this week in the last few days again. So maybe either him or Masterson can come back. Either way, I don't like what Bernie has to offer. And finally, Jelani Tavai, who saw his role drop to the usual levels again after the return of Javon Bentley. So yeah, they're my three guys that I'm not overly keen on this week. So let's talk defensive linemen, Mike. Let's switch position groups. Which player on the defensive line do you really, really, really like this week?
I'm going to go on a limb with Rashawn Gary. I've got him as my DL5. Pittsburgh's offense is allowing nearly two sacks a game to edge rushers. Gary has a pretty good matchup over Broderick Jones, who has a 58.5 PFF pass block grade, which is not great. In 108 pass block snaps, he's allowed two quarterback hits and five total quarterback pressures. So I think Gary is going to give Broderick Jones quite a handful this week. Gary has 13 pressures over his last three games, a 21.2% pressure rate to go along with a 30.5% win rate. And with win rate, that means Gary is beating his blockers in fewer than 2.5 seconds. That's pretty quick. And Gary has been a pretty solid pass rusher all season, finally kind of getting more into not a full-time role, but definitely getting enough snaps to where he's someone you can count on. For me, his pass rush metrics are just showing me a big game and big weeks are coming.
Yeah, look, I mean, now we're talking. I love Rashawn and Gary. You know, there's very few edge rushers that I would recommend starting when their snap share is as low as Gary's was to start the season, as he was getting his way back to full health. But I felt pretty comfortable starting him myself and recommending others to do the same because he's just that good. And he was still getting it done, even though he was playing, you know, 30-35% of the snaps each week. Obviously, the sacks themselves haven't been there in recent weeks. But I think, yeah, drop him at your peril because he's still generating plenty of pressure, as you said. And it's just a matter of time before those sacks return. And this Steelers offensive line, as you pointed out, Broderick Jones, you know, they've given up some big games to opposition edge rushers this year. And against a rookie, yeah, I really like the call. I've got him as my edge nine this week.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Gary's Gary's snap share has gone from right around, you know, he was getting like 16-30%. I think before the bye, he was at about 47, but now he's in the 60s over the last 3 weeks. So I'm more than comfortable with that usage.
Totally on board. So my featured like on the defensive line for week 10 is Boye Mafe. He's my edge 17 or DL 19 this week. I didn't expect to say to, or at this point in the season, to be saying that he was that high. You know, he's one behind Jermaine Johnson and one ahead of Adafe Owe. I've just been really impressed with Mafe this year. And Wosu's absence may have helped a bit, but this is more about an increase in his overall game than it is about extra opportunity. He's got a sack in each of his last six games. His pressure rate has almost doubled from last year, and his win rate, or the frequency at which he beats blockers, is more than tripled from 2022. It's not like he's had sort of cupcake matchups either. He's played the Bengals, the Cardinals, the Browns, and the Ravens in the last month. And of those teams, only the Browns, sorry, Mike, rank in the top 10 of teams who have allowed the most sacks this year. What gets me excited about him for week 10 specifically, though, is that he has arguably the best matchup he's had all year when he faces the Commanders. Sam Howell and Washington have not given up quite as many sacks in the last few games as they were earlier in the year, but they've still allowed the second most sacks in the NFL. Did you see, Mike, the hustle on that one play where he chased Lamar Jackson about 25, 30 yards down the field? It was, yep. I don't know, just a kind of something else that I like about him. He's just got that, he's got that sort of hustle in him, and he's not going to give up on a play. It was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, good player. I for whatever reason, when you said Boye-Mafe, I was thinking, oh God, I hope he doesn't have a good game against the Bronze. But then I got him and Odafe-Owe confused. But yeah, Mafe's picked things up. I think he actually had a pretty good game against Cleveland, if I recall correctly. Definitely picked his game up this year.
It's nice to see that development from year one to year two. I was expecting it to be all Nwosu this year, you know, 60, 70, 80% of the snaps, and then a sort of a rotating crew behind him with Mafe and Taylor and others. But yeah, it's nice to see him kind of emerge from the pile and step up when they needed him most, you know? So yeah, it's quick hitter time. Do you have any other defensive linemen who you're keen on for week 10?
Yeah, Bryce Huff I have as my DL23. Big pass rush specialist, so probably, you know, more of a big play scoring formats where you're getting a little bit more for your big plays, your sacks. But Huff definitely fits that bill of a big play specialist. He should line up most of his pass rush snaps over Jermaine. I'm going to botch the last name, but Jermaine Elamunor. 57.4 PFF pass block grade, has been responsible for 5 sacks, 3 QB hits, and 13 total pressures. Huff has an astounding 29.3% pressure rate and 27% win rate. He's got sacks in 4 straight. So I like him to make it 5 this week in a really good matchup opposite Jermaine Elamunor. Another guy I do like, I'm always a fan of, I always like Jonathan Greenard. I love what D'Amico Ryans has done with this kid. And I think he's got a pretty good matchup this week over Orlando Brown. Brown's got a 64 pass block grade, which is average, but Joe Burrow can kind of hold on to the ball sometimes a little too long. And Greenard just has a motor. And he's just one of those guys that is not going to stop until either the whistle blows or until he gets to the quarterback.
Yeah, good list, Mike. I like both guys. Huff especially. I know this is a weekly ranking show, but if we've got any dynasty managers listening in, then go out and get Huff. He's you mentioned his underlying pass rush metrics are stellar this year, but that's been the case for 2 seasons now. And the knock on him really is that his snap share isn't quite what it should be because he plays in such a deep rotation there for the Jets. But his contract's up after this year, and with Will McDonald coming through, you'd like to, and everybody else is under contract there. For 2024, at least, you'd like to think that Huff could find a new team and be rewarded for what he's been doing now for 2 years, and maybe play a bigger role. It's pretty exciting to wonder what could become of him if he does find a new team. But yeah, big fan of the player. So my first guy here, and I've gone pretty deep here, just to kind of set the scene, Mike. Guys like Micah Parsons, Max Crosby, Aiden Hutchinson, they've got
really? Those are good players? Those are good
guys? Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, brand new information. Brand new. Yeah, they've got amazing matchups this week. But nobody's considering, you know, not starting these guys unless they're not in their right mind. But so I've gone pretty deep with my list here. And I've gone with my first guy is Osa Odigizua of the Cowboys, who I think offers some nice weekly upside if you're looking for, you know, like a DT2 or a bye week replacement. He struggled for sacks after starting fast with, I think he had 3 in his first 2, but he's earning a bigger role at the expense of Neville Gallimore, and he has a great matchup against the Giants. Doesn't really get much better this week. So he's someone you can look to, I think, if you're looking for a little bit of help at that DT position for week 10. A couple of other guys who I want to mention here. A pair of edge rushers on the same team. It's the Bucks, Joe Tryon-Shuyinka and Shaq Barrett. You know, neither of these guys have lit it up this year. I think Barrett's had his moments, but Tryon-Shuyinka has been a huge disappointment yet again. So yeah, don't start either of them as more than a sort of an edge 3, maybe an edge 4 even. But if you were to need some help at the edge spot, then Again, they've got a tasty matchup against Andre Dillard, the Titans this week, who's allowed more pressures and more sacks than any other offensive tackle in the league. And they'll both see some reps against him because they do move from the left to the right edge. They do interchange. So whenever they're lined up against Dillard, then good things can happen. So try them. So defensive lineman, we don't like. Mike, kick us off by talking about your featured guy here.
I got Ed Oliver. Just had him as my DL65. He had that big game against Jacksonville and just really hasn't done a whole lot since. I think he's gotten 4 total tackles in the last 3 games. He'll get a sack here and there, but I think he's a name at this point. And I don't know. He just hasn't really done anything. Like I said, that week against Jacksonville, he had 9 tackles, 3 tackles for loss. He had a sack, forced fumble, and then has just been quiet in the stat sheet ever since, including a tasty matchup against the Giants where he put up a goose egg of zeros all across the board. So start Ed Oliver at your own peril.
This might be one of our first disagreements, Mike. I think it's a pretty bold call. The tackle numbers aren't there, and like you say, he has kind of faded away a little bit in the 3 games since. Forgot actually that he hadn't done a lot against the Giants, a matchup that he should have really produced well in, considering with the state of their offensive line and the amount of sacks that they've given up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, over the course of the season, he has been one of the more productive interior defensive linemen. And I famously lost a bet to Aaron Evers earlier in the year when I said I thought that Jeffrey Simmons was gonna have a bigger week than Ed Oliver. I think it was week 4. But yeah, and it's a big but. I will concede that if we're looking at the underlying metrics, then his 12.1% pressure rate and his win rate, which ranks 39th amongst all interior defensive linemen, do suggest that he might see some drop off in terms of his production at some point, unless those numbers increase, of course, in which case I'll have a bit more faith in him. I just don't think that this week is the week that could happen or should happen when he's playing against, I think it's Russell Wilson, isn't it, and the Broncos. They've given up the 4th most sacks in the league. And I know most of their troubles can be pinned on Mike McGlinchey at right tackle, but Oliver does spend a fair amount of his time lined up over and outside the tackle in that sort of 4 or 5-tech role. So, yeah, I think he has a chance to remain productive this week. So, yeah, it's not hard to disagree, Mike, but, yeah, we're a little far apart on this one, I think.
Yeah, I think he takes up space, which I think he does a good job of. But I think it's going to be, again, I think it's going to be more of the edge rushers that get home. I think it's going to be more Leonard Floyd and Gregory Russo and maybe AJ Epinesa. But I just think Oliver and Phillips will just take up some space, eat up some blocks. Might get some tackles off of Javonte and Jaleel McLaughlin, whoever is running the ball. But I don't know. I don't know. He wouldn't surprise me if he just had, maybe 3 or 4 tackles. But I don't know. I don't see a big game out of him this week.
Fair enough. I do agree on the Russo call. I know he spends more time on that left edge, so should face more of McGlinchey than most. So yeah, he could make some noise if he plays a sufficient enough, a sizable enough role, which is the only concern when it comes to those Bills edge rushers. So one of my biggest fallers in my rankings this week is Jonathan Cooper. He's my edge 39 or DL 49, one behind Denico Autry and one ahead of Zaven Collins. I talked about Nick Benito in this same segment going back a few weeks, and a lot of the same sort of rationale that I mentioned then applies to Cooper now, even though I do think Cooper is the slightly better player at this point in their careers. The Broncos welcome back
Baron Browning in week 7 versus the Packers. And as Browning returned to health, his role has increased and Cooper's role has decreased. He's gone from playing 86% of the snaps to playing only 61% last week. And that doesn't totally kill his value, right? But it does hurt it quite a bit. He did have a sack and 4 pressures before their bye in that surprise win over the Chiefs. But Mahomes was feeling under the weather in that game. And I think Cooper could find it difficult to kind of match that kind of output against Josh Allen and the Bills. They're a team that have given up very few sacks, fewer than a sack a game, in fact, in their last 5 games. So yeah, nothing about this situation really suggests to me that it's going to be a big week for Cooper. Mike, do you agree or disagree?
I don't have a problem with that call. I think Cooper is kind of tailed off a little bit. So I kind of like Benito a little bit more than Cooper. And then, yeah, you introduce Baron Browning and you kind of have a little bit of a rotational mess. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that call.
Good stuff. Any other defensive linemen you're fading in week 10?
Not really. I mean, you kind of got a bunch of guys. You just kind of got a bunch of guys that you might need to start, but not necessarily anybody that I'm kind of like, nah, you got to avoid. But once you get past that top 50, that top 60, you're just kind of like praying for a miracle at this point.
that's very true. Yeah. Speaking of which, I've got Harold Landry on my list of quick hitters at the position that I don't like. He's had 4 sacks, but I think he's lucky to have that number. He hasn't brought a lot of pressure. His drop off in production is no great surprise, given that he's always relied so heavily on volume for that production rather than talent. And he's now not getting that volume. Now he's got extra people to compete with at that spot. So, matchup against the Bucks, don't like it. 2 good offensive tackles, a QB who's not given up very many sacks. Again, nothing about that situation is anything that I like. Josh Allen, he's a guy I really like, actually. Big fan of Allen. But yeah, I don't like his matchup with Trent Williams. And again, the 49ers, they've not given up many sacks this season. So while I'm a fan of the player, just not a fan of the matchup this week. So he's dropped slightly in my rankings. And then finally, DJ Wonnum, because I feel like don't think he's very good. The bottom line, he's been more productive than I think he can sustain going forward. He's another player that relies so heavily on snap volume rather than ability. And while I think he might have some opportunities against Andres Pete, at right tackle, any snaps he has against Ryan Ramczyk, I think it's advantage Ramczyk there. So yeah, DJ Wonnum, another one for me who I'm down on, not really just this week, but in general, to be honest.
Yeah, he had a good game not too long ago. He's had a couple of good games, but yeah, he relies a lot on his efficiency, and sometimes that efficiency can be quite unsustainable.
Yeah. I know Marcus Davenport's not close to being back. Well, at least I don't think he is yet. I haven't seen anything in the last few days. So one of them, should remain really heavily involved. But yeah, I'm not a fan of the player. I never have been. I don't think he's ever been very good. He's always had a reasonable number of sacks. But again, it's only because he's played so many snaps. Kind of like a Harold Landry or a poor man's Harold Landry from previous years, maybe. So.
Yep.
So with that, we're on to defensive backs already. It's DB time, What safety or cornerback would you recommend people start in week 10? Mike, who's your featured guy here?
Well, for me, I love Grant Delpit. He's had such a really good season. Jim Schwartz, he had a good season last year, but Jim Schwartz is really just, I don't know. It just seems he's done wonders with this guy. Just seems to be around the ball, making big plays. He's got a 48% box rate, an 83% line of scrimmage rate. So he's playing up in the slot. He's playing up on the edge. He's got a 12% tackle rate, which is elite for a defensive back, 9.3% solo rate. So he's getting all the tackles that the linebackers are supposed to get because I think he's just a better player. The Ravens are allowing 16 tackles a game to the safety position. So for me, I think Delpit is going to be one of those, I guess what you can say, kind of one of those spies, I'm thinking, for Lamar. I think he's got the – well, nobody can match Lamar's quickness or speed, but I think Delpit is going to be in position to make tackles. And I think he and JOK are probably going to be the spies, I think, in the box for Lamar. But yeah, I really like Delpit's matchup this week. And like I said, he's playing up in the box, he's playing up on the line of scrimmage. And he's got the tackle numbers and the production to back up the play up near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. He's my DB16 this week. You know, we had a little lull there for a couple of weeks. Forget what weeks it was, maybe like 3, 4, 5, 6, sort of that area. But he's rebounded again in the last few games. And it wasn't really much of a lull anyway. I'm being picky. I love his matchup with the Ravens, like you, this week. They didn't allow many tackles to the Seahawks last week, but coming into that week, they were second in tackles allowed to the position. So yeah, a lot to like about Delpit this week. I'm pretty excited to talk about Keyshawn Nixon this week. He's my CB8 or my DB38, one behind Benjamin St. Juste and one ahead of Alohi Gilman. Now, this one might be a bit of a head scratcher for anyone who's playing in a league that doesn't reward return yardage for special teams players, as a fair bit of Nixon's value has come in that fashion on kick returns and punt returns for the Packers. And that alone has made him a DB, a top 16 DB option in formats that recognize return yardage. But I feel like there's another reason to get excited about Nixon following the trade of Rasul Douglas to the Bills. In the first game without Douglas, Nixon saw a season high 83% snap share, and he finished with 5 solo tackles, his second highest of the year, and his best since the opening game of the season, in fact. Now, there is a chance that the Nixon saw additional snaps in the last game because Rudy Ford missed time. Nixon is the favored slot DB, but Ford also plays in that spot occasionally as well. But with Ford still questionable, and as I say, with Douglas now gone, I do like Nixon's chances of remaining more involved in the defense than he has been in the first half of the season. And at the very least, we know that, again, depending on your scoring system, he has a pretty safe weekly floor with that return yardage. So, yeah, I like him. I like his situation. It also helps that the Packers are playing the Steelers this week, who rank second in attempted punts per game. So, yeah, that's my call for this week. Any thoughts from you on Nixon, Mike?
Yeah, and I like if Ford continues to be out, I do like Jonathan Owens because I think he stepped into Ford's role. Last couple of weeks, he's had a 50% box rate, and that's led to some increased tackle production. So Ford's out. I definitely like Jonathan Owens, but I like the Nixon call.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to see Owens' name being thrown around again after you know that fast start he made last season. He kind of, yeah. I was hoping that he might win one of those roles, but yeah, the Packers are clearly not too disappointed with what they've seen in Ford so far. I guess they're hoping to have him back this week. Yep. I don't know what his the latest on his status was. I think he was still listed as questionable. But yeah, good shout. So can you give me your quick list of any other DBs that you like in week 10? I know it can be difficult at the position.
Well, you mentioned Marquise Bell. You know, I got Marquise Bell as a DB. I think I got him as my DB17, but for all the reasons you've mentioned. So those are the kind of the two DBs that I do like. But yeah, like I said, if Ford is out, I like Owens as kind of like a plug and play. Do you like Devin Witherspoon also against the Commanders? I know Howell's played better as of late, but I think he could see some targets, and I think he could, you know, I think with Howell, I think with that pass rush, that improved pass rush, I think if Howell has to throw the ball early, I think Witherspoon can maybe get a pick, maybe a couple of defensive passes, but I like Witherspoon also.
Nice, nice. So I've gone with, Delpit was on my list, and we've already discussed. Rayshon Jenkins, he's got a chance to put up some good tackle numbers in that sort of favorable matchup with the 49ers. And lastly, Kyler Gordon, whose role has been growing steadily since he returned to action three or four weeks back. You know, it would be a stretch to expect him to do what Kenny Moore did against the Panthers this week, but at least he has a chance to put up solid tackle numbers against a team that has allowed the third highest tackle efficiency to opposition corners. So let's talk about guys that we don't like, Mike. Can I have your deep dive at the position that you're championing for week 10?
Yeah, I know. I know my message over to you. I don't like any DBs, but one guy I don't like is Jason Pinnock. A low tackle floor. He has just one game of six tackles since week two. Just a low tackle efficiency for a full-time player. He plays deep. He's only got an 18% box rate, and he's more of a deep safety. I know sometimes you've got deep safeties who are the exception to the rule that do get tackles, but he's not one. So I've got him as my DB 49. I like Xavier McKinney a little bit more. I like his role in the defense, and I don't know, Pinnock is just doesn't carry much upside for me.
Okay, cool. I'm fading Julian Love this week. He's unranked for only the second time of the year. You know, I was kind of sat there watching that Seahawks game and just wondering where Love is. I'm not talking about Love. I've got no marital issues to speak of. I'm talking about Julian Love. And I had to double check the injury report to make sure that I didn't miss any mention of him and being listed there. His snap share was really low. I think it was in the 30s, 35, 40%. And it was already looking a little shaky in the in at least two of the three games before last week, since Jamal Adams returned to the lineup. There was a chance it was a game plan or a game specific thing, maybe. You know, Lamar Jackson is the kind of player who tends to make defensive coordinators do or employ unusual game plans, right? But as I say, Love hasn't been that every down guy that we saw earlier in the year, and I'm pretty comfortable fading any defensive back if they're not playing every down or near to it, especially when the Seahawks are playing against the team that isn't typically a favorable matchup for DBs in the Commanders. So that's my take on Julian Love. I doubt many are going to be starting him this week based on that small snap share from last week, but I mentioned him just in case someone might have missed it and just assumed he had a quiet week. He didn't. He barely played. Okay, Mike. So yeah, final segment. Let's hear the quick hitters, if you have any, at the DB position who have dropped in your rankings or in your view for week 10.
Yeah, Jaron Kearse. Even though he's a full-time player, he calls the plays. He's the signal caller. He's actually the one that wears the dot, but just inefficient this year. He's only averaging just over four tackles a game. Very low tackle efficiency. If you look at his game log, he's got three games of more than six tackles. He's not really contributing much in the way of big plays. You know, he's got one interception, doesn't have a forced fumble, three defended passes. So not really contributing in the way of IDP and fantasy points. So for me, I've got Jaron Kearse down, I believe, outside of my top 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm again very, very similar. I've got him at 52, and it kind of pains me to agree, because he's been one of those guys who's been free every year in almost every IDP league I'm in, but pretty reliable, you know, again, when healthy, pretty reliable source of tackles at least. But yeah, this year is not his year. So yeah, my guys here, Ryan Neal, he really struggled in that Bucks scheme in coverage, especially, and it looks to have kind of finally caught up with him. Benched, as you say, last week against the Texans they played. Time to cut ties with Ryan Neal. Denzel Ward, who kind of came up clutch in that game with the Cards last week. He's playing against the Ravens this week, and we know Lamar Jackson's making very few mistakes, and the Ravens are allowing one of the lowest tackle efficiencies to opposition corners as well. So there's not much to like about Ward again. Sorry, Mike, Browns fan. And then finally, Levi Wallace of the Steelers, who was having a pretty productive year until he started conceding snaps to Joey Porter Jr. That about does it for week 10. Mike, it feels like we've raced through that. You've been a star in the same way as you were when you came on this show earlier in the year. Thanks for coming on. I hope you've had as much fun breaking down some of these rankings as I have.
Absolutely. Yep.
So share with our audience, if you will, where they can go to find you and your content this year.
Follow me on Twitter at @Mike_Woolert. We'll also throw in not only some IDP, but we'll also throw in some WWE when I watch a pay-per-view. So be aware that I will throw out some WWE tweets and references. And then in terms of content at 444.com, rankings, 3-down article, waiver wire, and cornerback matchups.
Yeah, if any of our listeners or viewers are not following Mike's 3-down linebacker article specifically, then you're missing out. Definitely go and give that a look and bookmark it. It's I mentioned at the top of the show there, it's been one of my go-tos every year for several years. How long have you been doing it for, Mike, that particular article now?
I want to say 6 years.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. It gives you everything you need about what's happening with every linebacker position on every team. Go and check that out. As usual, I'm on Twitter at Jace Abbey. If anyone is interested in following me and the full rankings we've discussed here, which are updated at least twice a week before the Thursday night game and the Sunday slate, can be found over on theidpshow.com. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate your support. I hope you found today's show useful, and I wish you the best of luck with your week 10 matchups. Bye for now.